Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Sitting drunk on a wagon to Mexico. Well, what a chump, man. My head got a bum when I hit it on the radio. Redhead, senorita, look at that. Kept it said, need a bed in Espanol. Said, give me a drink of water. I'm gonna sing around the collar, and I don't need a microphone.
And the headliner is canceled. This is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer. It does seem to be cancellation season in music. This rock duo, the White Stripes, are off the road because drummer Meg White is suffering from acute anxiety. Pop star Justin Timberlake has canceled to rest his voice. Rapper 50 Cent dropped his European shows for scheduling reasons. And even country legend Willie Nelson scrapped his concerts, citing exhaustion. The same thing's happening in classical music, where conductor Claudio Abbado and tenor Rolando Villazon have been high-profile no-shows recently. We'll get the musician's perspective in a moment, but we start today with Gary Bongiovanni. He's editor-in-chief of the concert industry publication Polestar. Gary, welcome back to Soundcheck.
Thank you, John.
Is there something new happening here? Is this a rash of cancellations more than usual for this time of year?
You know, I don't really think that it is. I mean, we're dealing with musicians who do get sick and unable to perform, and, you know, to some extent that happens on a consistent basis.
So this is something that we see a lot of, as you say, on a fairly consistent basis, but there does seem to be, a real run of cancellations going. Does it say something about the nature of the concert business these days?
Well, you know, in some cases, I mean, like in the situation with the White Stripes, acute anxiety could be a euphemism for any number of possible things. And, you know, Amy Winehouse, who also canceled a pretty high-profile tour, you know, also has her little demons that she's dealing with. You know, I think the interesting thing is that the really big acts in the concert business are older musicians who date back to the 60s and 70s. Many of them are in their 50s and 60s themselves, and they're not the ones canceling.
Hmm.
It's the younger kids.
Well, now, you use the word euphemism. You know, health reasons often is a euphemism for something else. You know, in Amy Winehouse's case, she, despite her song Rehab, is actually entering rehab. It seems that in some cases, though, health reasons might be more a cover for weak ticket sales or weak CD sales. What do you make of 50 Cent, for example, and the cancellation of his European tour?
You know, I'm not really sure what's behind the situation with 50 Cent. I mean, there have been a number of tours that were canceled because of visa issues. You know, in the post-9/11 world, it is harder for foreign musicians to get visas. I mean, that scuttled the Lily Allen tour and also a tour by the British band New Model Army. So, you know, those kinds of problems are things that just happen. The illnesses are a whole other thing. And you're right, oftentimes when a tour is canceled because of poor ticket sales, the public reason given is the artist has a hangnail or has to go back in the studio or something. But, you know, the real reason was that, you know, they weren't selling tickets. And it's pretty rare when an artist will actually own up to that. I mean, that was one of the things about the Kelly Clarkson tour cancellation earlier this year. I mean, they actually came out and admitted that it was because people weren't buying tickets.
Mm. Well, as you say, a lot of the people who are out there on tour and touring pretty effectively and pretty constantly are now in their 50s and 60s, and we have a lot of the younger musicians who are canceling. But let's look at someone at the other end of the spectrum as a case study. Willie Nelson is 74 years old. He played New York Farm Aid, and then he canceled a whole bunch of shows in the middle of the country, citing exhaustion, and there may be other cancellations to follow. Why is he still touring at age 74? He doesn't need to do it, does he?
I wouldn't think that he financially needs to do it. I think Willie's just a musician at heart, and that's what he does for a living, and that's what he enjoys doing. And he probably works harder than most young musicians do,
mm-hmm.
in terms of the number of days he's out on the road. Bob Dylan's another example of Bob's getting up there in age too, but he's out there all the time working.
The never-ending tour.
Right.
So in the case of someone like Willie Nelson, at 74 years old, when he cites exhaustion, I think we all pretty much take him at face value. The guy is probably exhausted.
Right. Yeah, I mean, look at the artists like B.B. King that, you know, that stay out there and work, and they're definitely up there in age, but, you know, most of them have found ways to keep themselves healthy enough, and, you know, they've been doing this long enough so they don't let the excesses of being on the road get to them. And, you know, some younger musicians have to learn that the hard way.
The hard way, right. We're speaking with Gary Bongiovanni. He is editor-in-chief of the concert industry publication Polestar. Some music here from Willie Nelson. You won't be seeing him live on stage for a little while, but here he is on disc.
Well, there's many a strange impulse out on the plains of West Texas. There's many a young boy who feels things he can't comprehend. And a small town don't like it when somebody falls between sexes. No, a small town don't like it when a cowboy has feelings for men. And I believe to my soul that inside every man there's the feminine. And inside every lady there's a deep manly voice loud and clear. Well, the cowboy may brag about things that he's done with his women, but the ones that brag loudest are the ones that are most likely queer. Cowboys frequently, secretly fond of each other.
Willie Nelson and Cowboys Are Frequently, Secretly Fond of Each Other, the name of the song. Willie Nelson, 74 years old, has canceled a number of shows this fall, citing exhaustion, and he's just one of a number of high-profile cancellations in the music concert business. We're speaking with Gary Bongiovanni from the concert industry publication, Polestar. Gary, we've talked on this program in the past a number of times about how the model of the working band has changed from, you know, CD sales are not as high as they used to be, and a lot of bands make their living off of their live performance rather than from, you know, a lucrative CD contract. Are bands overworked? I mean, are people just touring relentlessly because they have to? Are they touring more than they should be?
I don't think so. I mean, they tour as long as there's sufficient public demand for it, and, you know, you can't go to the same market too many times over and over again, and you kind of wear out your welcome. But I don't think that the cancellations are tied to overworked musicians as much as just, you know, the fickle nature of life, I guess.
Yeah. Now, when a show is canceled, who loses? What happens to the artist? What happens to the promoter, the presenter?
Well, there can be a lot of variations to it, but generally speaking, everyone loses. The artist doesn't get paid. The promoter will be out of pocket whatever expenses they paid, you know, for advertising or, you know, any other costs associated with getting the show ready. And then the facility, if it's just being rented out, will end up probably being dark that night, and there'll be no income from concessions or other things. So it's not a good thing for anyone. In an ideal world, the artist, if they were sick and had to cancel the date, they'll reschedule it, and they will allow the promoter to add in the expenses from the canceled date into the new show so that they can eventually become whole. But again, that comes out of the artist's pocket as well.
Uh-huh. So that you don't first of all have insurance for this sort of thing, and secondly, you don't jack up the price of tickets for the second one to make up for the lost income of the first?
Not if you're a smart businessman and are in it for the long haul. You wouldn't do that, no.
All right. Well, what happens, like, take the world of classical music or Broadway. You know, somebody goes down with an illness or something, there's an understudy. There's, you know, in opera they have the cover, the singer who's standing by ready to step in. Obviously, you can't do that if you're expecting to see Dylan and Dylan gets sick. You can't just have somebody else come and take his place. But in the world where that sort of thing is done, are we talking about a completely different set of circumstances there?
Well, I mean, to some extent, I mean, you have to have the headline artist there. Now, if it's the drummer that got sick or the bass player, and maybe one of the members of the road crew can fill in for the night while the guy is rested, then they can still produce a show that they deem acceptable. They'll go ahead and perform because there is a lot of money on the line. But obviously, you know, if it's a Justin Timberlake show and Justin can't perform, there is no understudy.
Right. All right. Well, you know, even in the case of a an opera or an orchestra, if the conductor gets sick or the star tenor gets sick, you will see a show. If you don't like the replacement, that's kind of the luck of the draw. And I guess at the end of the day, Gary, that's what this is all about. You know, lots of people touring lots of different cities in relatively short periods of time. It can be just a matter of time before cancellations like this happen. Let me thank you for joining us once again on Soundcheck. Gary Bongiovanni is editor-in-chief of the concert industry publication Polestar. Thanks a lot, Gary.
Thank you, John.
And in the background, the Lucerne Festival Orchestra, conducted by Claudio Abbado. He is being replaced by conductor David Robertson in their upcoming concert in New York. Here they are playing some of the Bruckner Symphony No. 4, which, by the way, is one of our Soundcheck picks of the week. You'll hear all of our picks coming up in just a moment. This is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer, and from Bruckner's Fourth Symphony, you're now hearing Luca and a song called One Ticket Home. We've been talking about how promoters and fans cope with cancellations, but in many cases, musicians are the ones struggling when a show is off, not only because they lose income, but also because they might need medical attention away from home. Last month, this guitarist, Nick Luca, almost fell into a coma due to a previously undetected case of diabetes. He was on tour with singer-songwriter John Doe at the time. He joins us now by phone from Tucson, Arizona. Nick, thanks very much for being with us.
Thanks for having me.
So, as I understand it, you ended up in the emergency room at the end of a two-month tour, a step away from a diabetic coma. What happened?
Yeah, that's correct. We were on a two-month tour with, as you said, John Doe. Began in June and ended in mid-August. About 2 weeks towards the end of the tour, around the beginning of August, I felt a little funny, just a little odd. My heart was beating a little fast. I think that was the first symptom I really noticed. And I was in a hotel room and I said, gee, my heart's beating really fast. That's funny. And as it progressed, I got more tired. I was more irritable than usual on a tour. You find yourself getting irritable, but I was crankier than usual. Hungry. I couldn't drink enough water. I was losing a lot of weight and getting pale, and having a pretty difficult time with it. By the end, the last few shows, I couldn't do the rock and roll moves that I was supposed to do. I could barely even bend my knees. When I finally arrived back in Tucson, that's when things really escalated and got into the deep recesses of what they call ketoacidosis.
Mm-hmm.
And what happens is those symptoms basically get worse and worse, and started vomiting, and finally my wife and a bandmate took me into the ER here in Tucson.
And that's where you were diagnosed with presumably adult onset diabetes.
Actually, in my case, it was a juvenile onset diabetes. They call it type 1.
Huh.
And I'm a very rare case. I'm 37 years old, so it's very rare that someone my age gets that type of diabetes. And that's the only kind of diabetes that you would actually go into a ketoacidosis state. The other type 2 that you associate more with older or overweight folks generally don't go into that state.
Okay. Now, there's a couple of questions that come out of this story. We're speaking with Nick Luca, the guitarist and singer, leader of the band Luca. One is, you start feeling ill while you're on tour.
Right.
you can't really do anything about it, can you? I mean, short of...
No, there is. I mean, the schedule we were on was quite grueling. I mean, it's wake up in the hotel, hop in the van, maybe eat breakfast, maybe not, which is all very difficult for a diabetic. And then drive 6 hours plus and show up, rush around sound checking. Maybe you get a dinner. Maybe we'd stop for lunch, not always. And then it's showtime.
So how do you know when you're sick and when you're just, you know, sick of being
exactly.
tired and
yeah,
hungry?
I didn't know at the time, but I thought I was just getting sick of the tour.
Yeah.
Apparently, and everyone else was tired and cranky, but they were still having a good time. They could still show up and play the show and smile and have fun and chat with people. But I became a bit of a recluse. I couldn't even go out up front and talk to folks after the show, and that's one of the difficult things I think in my particular case is I didn't have the traditional flu symptoms or anything like a fever or a cough or even a headache. I'd be very up and down with the blood sugars. You know, I'd eat and I'd be okay, and then I wouldn't eat and I'd somehow just be miserable.
Yeah.
And
let me ask you, Nick, you're kind of standing in here for any number of musicians at any number of levels of the game. Do
right.
you have health insurance?
Yeah, at the time I didn't have any, and I haven't had it for years. And I'm a healthy guy and in decent shape, and I actually eat well, even on the road. We try to do, supermarkets as opposed to eating out all the time, and we actually make a conscious effort, but I was very lucky in that when I did get to the hospital, my wife is a student at the University of Arizona, so she qualified for health care and could sign up her spouse. Basically, the day I checked in was the day to sign up.
Wow.
So it was pretty much just luck of the draw on that one. So
yeah, but
I ended up being covered.
For a lot of musicians, that luck does not work out quite that well.
No, it doesn't. And we were recently married as well, so if this had happened a year ago, this conversation would be a little more grim.
Nick Luca is my guest. Nick, you have a new CD out called Fractions with
yes.
your own band, Luca, coming out tomorrow. Let's hear a little bit.
Downtown. There's a quietude that you don't often find. It's the only place to try and clear your mind. While sleeping people dream of their own life. But the city is just too much for you. You'd rather have the trees and the open spaces too. Too many people dreaming all at once can throw your psyche right down in the dumps. Maybe you've been bitten by emotion.
The band is Luca, led by my guest Nick Luca. The new CD is out tomorrow called Fractions. So, Nick, the next time you head out on the road, you will be touring with diabetes. Will you tour for this record?
Yes, we have a tour planned in October of mainly the western states. You can see that on my website, nickluca.com. And, yeah, I plan to go on. You know, in your previous segment, Gary mentioned B.B. King, who
right.
is famously a diabetic as well.
So it is possible to do it.
It is very possible, from what I understand.
And I guess, you know, sort of what I was saying before about the new model, where it's not the record you make the money on, it's the gigs. Can you afford not to?
Yeah, well, here in the indie trenches, we can't afford to, and we can't afford not to. So we keep rolling on, and the show must go on.
All right, Nick Luca from the band Luca. New album is out tomorrow. Nick, best of luck to you. Thanks very
Thank
much
very
for
much.
Joining us.
Bye-bye.
This is Soundcheck.
Soundcheck.
It's time for our Soundcheck Picks of the Week, some of the favorite albums to cross our desks in the Soundcheck office, and we start with the candy-coated pop of Georgie James. Georgie James is not a him, but a them. Drummer John Davis and keyboardist Laura Burhan have a debut album together called Places, which sounds like the musical love child of the Beach Boys and the New Pornographers. Here's a track called Need Your Needs. What you do doesn't mean a thing to me anymore. You need your needs to get along. You need your needs to get along. Oh, I'm gonna sell you by what we will want you. Back in my old days. Oh my God, you're talking by what we will want you. Back in my old days. The band is called Georgie James, and their debut album is called Places. Something a little bit different, our next pick, the Lucerne Festival Orchestra. You might think of them as classical music's minor leaguers. These are young international musicians who play at the Lucerne International Festival in Switzerland. But they have a great manager, conductor Claudio Abbado, and as you listen to them playing Bruckner's Fourth Symphony, they sound like they're ready for the big leagues. That's Bruckner's Symphony No. 4 from a new recording by the Lucerne Festival Orchestra, conducted by Claudio Abbado. In our Soundcheck picks this week, we've already heard a pop album and a classical album. The next record is kind of both. Michael Holt is an ex-member of the Mommy Heads. Now, he's still making sweet, often surreal piano-based songs, but he's also still a fan of the Russian composer Scriabin and actually incorporates two of Scriabin's piano preludes on his new record called Windows. This song, called All the Michaels in the World, is a really original take on that old standby, the breakup song.
And Michael Jackson, all alone in his mansion, is just pining away the Christmas holidays, wishing it the day, we're on the same page.
The album's called Windows, from pianist, singer, and songwriter Michael Holt. Our final soundcheck pick this week is the UK band called Tongue, spelled T-U-N-N-G. The word folktronica was coined just to describe this band, their blend of odd folk-based acoustic guitars with the blips and twitters of modern dance electronica. On their new album, Good Arrows, they actually go for a richer, more accessible, poppy sound, as on this song called Bullets.
Our blood and guts are out. We spread our bones across the table at night. We cut our fingers off to give ourselves those little extra insights. We're catching bullets in our teeth, and though they try hard not to say how it's done, they always do. They spill the secret our six ways and beg for our forgiveness just before dawn. And now we don't remember. We're catching bullets in our teeth. It's hard to do, but they taste sweet. And if they take a couple out, we try to work things out. We're catching bullets with our heads and hearts and all the darkest parts of us. It's strange to find such lights in such endless nights.
The album's called Good Arrows by the English band Tongue, making their way to our soundcheck studio next month. If you'd like details on our soundcheck picks of the week, just go to the website, wnyc.org.
You whisper prayers into the dark, up to a God in whom you've never believed. You always do, you spit the secret up.
This is Soundcheck.